Ready for another deep dive? Today we're taking a look at coral and trying to unlock some secrets about their genes. We've got these lab meeting transcripts, right? And the researchers are all about this question. Can a coral's environment actually change its genes?
It's all about epigenetics, really. How stuff outside our DNA can actually switch certain genes on or off.
Okay, so how does that work in coral?
Think of it like a blueprint, yeah. You've got the plans for a building, but you could build a house or a whole skyscraper. It just depends on what parts of the plan you're using.
Interesting. So what were these researchers looking at specifically?
Well, they started with this idea. What if we give some corals a little boost, like extra nutrients? You know, see what happens.
Okay, so they're basically giving some corals an energy drink.
Kind of. And they found that those corals ended up with way more symbiotic algae.
Those are the ones that give the coral those amazing colors.
Wow. Exactly. Not only that, but the algae had way more chlorophyll, too. And their overall biomass just shot up.
So it's like giving your houseplants Miracle-Gro, they just explode.
Uh-huh, yeah. But, and this is where it gets really interesting, the big question is, who's getting all that extra energy?
You mean, is it the coral getting stronger, or are the algae hogging it all?
Exactly. The researchers were debating whether those nutrient-boosted corals were actually in a higher energetic state. Some were all for it, pointing at the photosynthesis and all those algae as proof.
Makes sense.
Right, but then you had the skeptics, and they made a really good point. You need more than just one piece of evidence to be sure.
So what were they suggesting?
Well, they argued that without measuring the coral's metabolism directly, you know, things like ATP levels or lipid storage, we can't actually say if it's benefiting. The algae could be taking all the extra energy for themselves.
It's like we need to check the coral's bank account, see if those nutrients are actually making them richer.
Huh, yeah. And that's where epigenetics comes in. They wanted to look deeper at the genetic level to see what's really going on.
Okay, so remind me again, what is the epigenome? How does it fit in here?
Think of it like a string of lights, and each one is a single gene. DNA tells you what color that light bulb is, red, green, blue, but the epigenome, that's like the switch that turns each light on or off.
So like a massive control panel with switches for every single gene.
Exactly. And these researchers, they were looking for changes in how those switches were being flipped, especially in the corals that got those extra nutrients.
Interesting. How did they go about doing that?
Well, they focused on these things called epigenetic modifiers.
Epigenetic modifiers. Sounds kind of sci-fi, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah. They're like these tiny machines that flip those gene switches. Some make it easy for genes to express, and others can shut them right down.
So they were trying to catch these modifiers in the act, changing how the coral functions.
Yeah, pretty much. They looked at the data for hundreds of these modifiers, hoping to see which ones were changing because of the extra nutrients.
Wow, that's a lot of data. How did they even make sense of it all?
Well, they used this statistical technique called principal component analysis, PCA for short.
Okay, I'm not a statistician. Break that down for me.
Imagine you're trying to take a whole bunch of measurements and sum them up with one score. That's basically PCA. They made this score to represent the coral's overall health, considering their algae, chlorophyll, and biomass.
It's like a health score for each coral?
Yep. And by comparing how active each modifier was to that score, they hoped to find any correlations, you know, see which modifiers might be involved in how the coral uses that energy boost.
It's like they're trying to find the conductor of the orchestra,
yeah.
One in charge of how the coral uses all its resources.
Exactly. And with that technique, they were ready to uncover the secrets hidden within the coral's epigenome. And let me tell you, they found some interesting stuff.
So what did they find? Was there a conductor in that orchestra?
Well, they looked at hundreds of these epigenetic modifiers, and two of them really stood out. The first one is called SETMAR.
SETMAR, okay. What does it do?
SETMAR's a histone methyltransferase, and histone modification, that's a big deal in epigenetics.
Histones, okay, remind me about those.
So histones, right. Think of them like spools, your DNA wraps around them, and how tightly that DNA is wound up that can actually affect which genes can be turned on or off.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's where these chemical tags come in, things like methyl groups. If you add or remove these tags, you change how tight the DNA is wound, and bam, that changes gene expression.
So it's like those tags are controlling how easy it is for the cell to read certain genes.
Yeah, exactly. And SETMAR, it's all about adding those tags.
Okay, and they found a connection between SETMAR and that coral health score we talked about.
They did. They found that it was positively correlated with the health score.
So it was more active in the corals that seemed to be thriving with that extra energy.
Right. Which suggests that this whole process, histone modification, might be part of how corals actually use that extra energy.
Fascinating. Okay, what about that second modifier?
Right, the second one, that one's called ATF2, activating transcription factor 2. And this one, it was negatively correlated.
So the opposite of Setmar.
Exactly.
What does this ATF2 do then?
Well, ATF2, it's got its fingers in a lot of pies, you know. It's involved in a bunch of different processes in the cell.
Okay.
But one of its jobs is as a histone acetyltransferase.
Histone acetyltransferase. Is that like what Setmar does?
It is. It's like they're both playing in the same sandbox, but they've got different toys, right?
Okay.
Instead of adding those methyl groups, ATF2 adds acetyl groups to histones.
And those can change gene expression, too.
Yep. Just like those methyl groups.
Wow, so we've got Setmar over here, maybe helping to organize things, and ATF2 adding its own tags and changing how genes are read.
Yeah, a lot going on.
So what did the researchers think about all of this, with these two modifiers?
Well, they were really interested in ATF2.
Because it was negatively correlated.
Yeah, it kind of suggests that when a coral doesn't have much energy, ATF2 becomes more active.
So maybe it's like a backup system. Like it helps the coral conserve energy when things get tough.
Maybe. That's the $1 million question. This research, it gives us some clues, but it doesn't have all the answers.
No.
We know NTF2 does a lot of different things in the cell, and it's hard to say exactly what it's doing here.
It's like finding a clue at a crime scene. It points you in the right direction, but you still need more evidence.
Huh, that's a good way to put it.
So what happens next? What do they need to do to figure this out?
Well, they said, we need more direct measurements of the coral's metabolism, especially in those corals that got the extra nutrients.
Right, because we still don't know for sure if the coral or the algae were benefiting more.
Exactly. They need to measure things like ATP levels, how much lipid is stored, really get a good picture of the coral's energy situation.
Like checking its bank account?
Yeah. And the other thing they need, more data, specifically from something called a time series data set.
A time series data set. What's that?
So in this study, they only looked at the corals at one point in time.
Right.
But with a time series, they could track changes over time.
Instead of the snapshot, it'd be like a whole move.
Yeah, exactly. And this time series data, it has really detailed measurements of the coral's physiology. Things like tissue biomass, calcification rates, things that use a lot of energy.
So they could see how those factors change over time and if those changes match up with what Setmar and ATF2 are doing.
Exactly. It would give us a much better picture of what's happening inside the coral and how all these epigenetic changes affect the coral's health and energy.
So it's like upgrading from a simple X-ray to a full MRI scan.
Yeah, exactly. It's a much more detailed picture.
This is what I love about science. There's always something new to discover.
It is exciting, and it's really important. You know, we're talking about the survival of coral reefs.
Right, which are incredibly important for the entire planet.
Yeah, they support so much life, provide livelihoods for people, protect coastlines, and that's why this research is so important. If we can understand how corals adapt to a changing environment, including how their genes respond, maybe we can find ways to protect them.
It's like we're looking at the whole reef now. All those tiny changes in the coral could really add up to something big.
Yeah, exactly. And corals are facing so many problems, right? The water's getting warmer, there's pollution, ocean acidification.
It's a lot.
It is. And figuring out how they adapt, how their genes react to all that stress, that's really important if we want to help them.
It's like their epigenome could be the key to survival.
It could be.
So we're wrapping up our deep dive into the coral's genes and this whole epigenetics thing.
Right.
What does it all mean for everyone listening? What's the takeaway?
Well, imagine we could take this research, right, and use it to actually protect coral reefs. So let's say we can pinpoint the exact epigenetic changes that help corals deal with those challenges we talked about. Warmer water, things like that.
Okay.
Then maybe we could find a way to help the reefs that are really struggling, like giving them a boost to survive.
It's like we could find the super corals that can already handle things like warmer temperatures.
Yeah.
The ones that are doing okay. And then what? Like, use them to help other reefs recover.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't just about coral, you know. What we're learning about epigenetics here, it could apply to other organisms too. Even us.
It shows how connected everything is. The reefs, the health of the planet. It even comes down to our own genes in the end.
Yeah, it does.
So, one last thought for everyone. We talked about how nutrients might change coral genes.
Right.
But what else could be affecting that epigenome?
That's a good question.
Could it be the rising water temperatures? Or maybe pollution? Could those be changing how genes are expressed in ways we haven't even thought of yet?
Yeah, who knows what we'll discover.
Those are the big questions, right? The ones that keep scientists busy.
Yeah.
And they should inspire all of us to learn more about this amazing planet. you know, because it's all connected. That's it for today's deep dive. We'll see you next time.